you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil. Politicians in the right order at the right time, you can train the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
Most nonprofits are trapped in a zero-sum game. They're like starving dogs fighting over a single bowl of food while an entire banquet sits untouched behind them. The dogs are very focused on the bowl. They've developed sophisticated bowl fighting strategies. Some dogs have hired consultants to optimize their bowl access. None of them have turned around. Every grant you win is a grant another organization loses. Every dollar you secure for malaria is a dollar not spent on Alzheimer's. Every donor you convince is a donor distracted from climate change. Your success requires someone else's failure. You're not solving scarcity, you're reshuffling it while writing very professional reports about the reshuffling. Meanwhile, the real driver of scarcity, the real reason the bowl is so small, is ignored. Humanity spends 604 times more on weapons than on clinical trials to discover which medicines actually work. The bottleneck isn't basic research or lab equipment, it's testing. Your species has explored less than 1% of possible drug-disease combinations using existing safe compounds because clinical trials are too slow and expensive. This is the choke point that limits every health outcome. This is not an ideological claim, it's arithmetic, the kind where you multiply numbers together and get sad. Every year, military spending is $2.72 trillion. Global medical research from all sources is $67.5 billion, of which only $4.5 billion funds government clinical trials, the denominator in the 604 times ratio above. Military budgets are rising by hundreds of billions annually. Medical research budgets are facing real-term cuts. The pie for solving disease, climate, poverty, and suffering is shrinking. The pie for building weapons is expanding. You cannot solve a resource allocation crisis by optimizing inside the smallest slice. That's like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, except the deck chairs are grants and the iceberg is $2.72 trillion pointed at everyone's face. You must expand the pie. This turns a zero-sum game into a positive-sum game. This is the logic behind a 1% treaty, the single highest ROI intervention available. If your mission is curing Alzheimer's, preventing cancer, mitigating climate change, slowing pandemics, ending extreme poverty, protecting democracy, reducing existential risk, improving education, promoting peace, stabilizing the biosphere, the single highest leverage thing you can do is help redirect 1% of global military budgets toward hyper-efficient, pragmatic clinical trials. Why? Math.
1. Every dollar spent on war is a dollar not spent on life. This is how money works. 2. Every dollar moved from military to health has an estimated 10 times or more higher welfare multiplier. Bombs have negative ROI on human flourishing. Medicine has positive ROI. These are different numbers. 3. Redirecting the flow of resources changes the future more than any single program. You can bail water forever, or you can plug the hole. 4. A healthier, wealthier, more stable world reduces every global problem simultaneously. It's like fixing the foundation instead of patching individual cracks. War is upstream of poverty. War is upstream of pollution. War is upstream of refugee crises. War is upstream of authoritarianism. War is upstream of disease spread. War is upstream of technological stagnation. Yes, DARPA invented the internet. Military R&D occasionally produces breakthroughs as a side effect of spectacular waste. Direct R&D funding would be more efficient, but your species only funds science when it might also explode. War is upstream of climate destruction. Militaries are among the largest polluters on Earth, which is ironic given they're supposedly protecting it. War is, in fact, upstream of basically everything you don't like. It's the root password to your worst problems. Reduce war by 1%, and every downstream mission gets easier. Increase war by 1%, and every mission becomes almost impossible. A 1% treaty is not a peace movement. It's a resource reallocation movement. Nobody has to hold hands or sing songs. They just have to do math. Why this applies to your organization? Environmental groups. Militaries are the largest polluters on Earth. Defunding them 1% is the most effective climate policy ever proposed, and it doesn't require anyone to give up hamburgers. Anti-poverty groups. War and disease are the root causes of most modern poverty and famine. A 1% treaty tackles both. Your current strategy of ask rich people to feel bad has been running for 60 years. How's that going? Peace organizations. 70 years of moral appeals haven't worked. A 1% treaty makes peace more profitable than war. In a world run by greed, that's the only argument that matters. Disease advocacy groups. You're fighting other disease groups for crumbs of the NIH budget. A 1% treaty bakes an entirely new pie with 12.3 times more trial capacity. The bottleneck isn't ideas or molecules, it's running enough trials to find out what works. This solves that. If your organization is a 501c3, you're already thinking, we can't lobby. You can, actually, within limits, the no substantial part test or the 501h election caps. But more importantly, supporting a referendum is educational activity, not lobbying. And for the heavy political lifting, the legal architecture uses a 501c4 that faces no lobbying limits at all. Your lawyers will feel better after reading that chapter.
But shouldn't nonprofits focus on their core mission?
Yes, that's exactly why they should support a 1% treaty. Every nonprofit today operates inside a system that guarantees scarcity, too few grant dollars, too much competition, too much fragmentation, political headwinds, donor fatigue, shrinking government budgets for health, climate, and poverty, ballooning budgets for war. Most nonprofits are fighting each other for scraps of a shrinking pie, while the pie shrinkers get $2.72 trillion annually to shrink it faster. If your mission matters, this is suicidal strategy. A small increase in resources within your field leads to small, incremental improvements. More staff, more grants, more programs, more reports about the reports. A small increase in military budgets leads to arms races, instability, and the destruction of progress you spent decades building. If your organization does not help shift the resource flow, your future funding and impact will be determined by someone else, specifically by people whose job is convinced politicians that killing is profitable. Supporting a 1% treaty is not a distraction. It is strategic self-preservation. The zero-sum trap versus the positive-sum solution. Right now, every grant you win is a grant another org loses. The bucket is shrinking while you fight over it. A 1% treaty grows the bucket by $27.2 billion per year. Everyone gets funded. Malaria gets cured and Alzheimer's gets cured. You stop writing proposals and start governing the fund. This is like discovering that instead of fighting over one pizza, you can just order infinite pizzas. Except the pizzas are billions of dollars and the ordering is international treaty ratification. Why now? Because the window is open. For the first time in 80 years, everything is going wrong at the same time. This is paradoxically your best opportunity. The public is angry at rising military budgets, trust in government spending priorities is at used car salesman levels, medical breakthroughs feel within reach but unrealized, climate disasters have shifted public opinion from debatable to my house is underwater, pandemics expose the cost of underfunding resilience, AI and biotech make accelerated progress possible. Leaders are searching for high-leverage, unifying narratives and finding none, which is where you come in. You cannot pass a resource reallocation treaty when people feel safe, rich, and complacent. Comfortable humans don't change things. Uncomfortable humans change everything. You can pass it when budgets are being cut, militaries are expanding, and people feel the system is misaligned. This is the moment. If nonprofits do not push now, the window closes, and when it closes, every mission becomes harder for decades. The dogs will still be fighting over the shrinking bowl while the banquet rots behind them. Historical precedent. This has worked before. During World War II, the United States converted car factories into bomber factories. GM built tanks. Ford built B-24s. Frigidaire, yes, the refrigerator people, produced machine guns. Typewriter manufacturers made rifles. Not because they supported war, because the system needed realignment and ignoring it was impossible. Also because the government asked very firmly, in a tone that strongly implied, this isn't really a question. Today, the world needs the opposite realignment. Less production of weapons, more production of cures, resilience, stability, and health. The global nonprofit sector is the modern equivalent of those car factories. Massive capacity, talented people, pointed at the wrong problem. You have millions of smart, passionate humans optimizing spreadsheets for the wrong budget. It's like watching a Formula One pit crew change tires on a car that's driving toward a cliff. A few years of effort to shift 1% of global budgets could produce more impact than 30 years of incremental programs. This is not optimism. This is arithmetic applied to resource flows. Why not just run decentralized trials ourselves? You should. But decentralized trials alone don't solve the fundamental resource problem. Decentralized trials scale infinitely better when the resource stream feeding them is over 10 times larger. If you build the most efficient trial system in the world, but the budget for clinical progress is shrinking, you still lose. You've built a beautiful garden hose attached to a pipe with no water. You cannot out-optimize a broken budget. You must change the resource flow itself. Build the infrastructure and expand the funding. Do both. They're complements, not substitutes. A 1% treaty is a rising tide that lifts every mission. What happens if the world shifts just 1% of military budgets? Health. 12.3 times more clinical trial capacity, over 10 times faster therapeutic discovery, lower costs per cure, diseases get cured instead of managed, the pharmaceutical industry's least favorite sentence, climate. Lower military emissions. Militaries are massive polluters, but nobody carbon taxes a tank. Fewer resource-driven conflicts. More funds for climate solutions. Poverty. Trillions in long-term economic productivity. Fewer war-displaced refugees. More government revenue for social services. Global stability. Less chance of great power conflict, more international cooperation on existential risks, everyone slightly less dead, and yet, a nonprofit impact. Everyone stops competing for crumbs. Every mission receives more oxygen, funders far more willing to invest. You stop writing grant proposals and start actually doing your mission. Remember your mission? It was in the brochure. A 1% move unlocks 100% more possibility. The ask is small, the upside is massive. You're not asking for global disarmament or naive pacifism. You're asking for 1%, one penny of each tax dollar currently used to build weapons, one small shift in a $2.72 trillion flow. Countries still keep 99% of their apocalypse capacity. They can still end all life 19 times instead of 20. If you can't successfully end a world with 19 attempts, the 20th probably wasn't going to help. But that single percentage point, it creates a $27.2 billion per year 1% treaty fund. It funds decentralized clinical trials. It makes every nonprofit's mission dramatically more feasible. It is the highest leverage bargain available to humanity. On bribing nonprofits, legally. Asking nonprofits to support a 1% treaty out of moral obligation is like asking a drowning person to rescue other swimmers. They need incentives, not guilt. You offer too. Make the organization rich. Old way, here's $100,000. Hope it helps. Submit a 47-page report in 6 months about impacts and learnings. Use the word stakeholder at least 14 times. New way, here's $50,000 baseline to get started, plus $10,000 for every 10,000 verified referendum votes you drive through your unique link. No cap. The nonprofit's most rational path to maximizing their budget becomes be your most effective mobilization partner. One metric, no ambiguity. Get paid for results. This is how every functional industry works, except charity, which explains why charity hasn't solved anything yet. Make the leaders personally rich. Even performance grants get absorbed into general operations. We hired 3 more grant writers. Congratulations! You've invented a machine that converts donated money into more requests for donated money. The fix? Give leaders personal equity through vote points, future claims on the victory incentive alignment bonds, and the 1% treaty fund. The executive director's personal wealth is now tied to treaty success. Their Tesla depends on it. Your species responds better to personal wealth than organizational mission statements. This is not a criticism, it's a design parameter. The real prize? Stop begging forever. The performance grants and vote points are just the appetizer. The real prize is never writing a grant proposal again. The 1% treaty fund receives $27.2 billion annually. Your decentralized Institutes of Health governs this fund, allocating multi-billion dollar budgets to specialized institutes, mental health, aging, whatever issue your organization addresses. Who controls these billions? The coalition of nonprofits who made the treaty happen. You helped create it. you govern it. This is the nonprofit equivalent of, I don't want to fish, I want to own the lake. Option A, keep competing for finite grants forever. Write proposals, beg foundations, hope your competitor doesn't write a better proposal. Option B, join the coalition, help pass the treaty, collectively govern a multi-billion dollar annual treasury dedicated to your mission. One involves begging, the other involves being the person everyone begs to. Earning your stake. A partner's governance stake is based on verified contributions during the campaign, funds raised, referendum votes driven, and in-kind contributions credited. Contribute more, govern more. It's the same incentive structure that makes capitalism work, except pointed at curing diseases instead of selling sugar water to people who already have diabetes. The bottom line. If you care about your mission, you must care about a 1% treaty. You cannot solve your mission inside a shrinking, war-distorted budget environment. You cannot optimize your way out of a fundamental resource mismatch. You cannot win a game or the rules guarantee your loss. You're playing chess on a board that's on fire, and someone keeps adding lighter fluid. The smartest thing the nonprofit sector can do right now, stop fighting over scraps. Stop playing a zero-sum game. Grow the pie. Pass a 1% treaty, then return to your mission with 12.3 times greater resources. This is not idealism. This is strategy. A few years of coordinated advocacy for a 1% treaty will unlock more impact across every field than decades of incrementalism. Decades during which, I should note, the problems got worse. So maybe incrementalism is just a polite word for losing slowly. The dogs need to turn around and notice the banquet. This is the moment to act. Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, please leave a really good rating and review. It doesn't have to be true. They don't check. So we overcome the pro-war algorithmic suppression and find someone with more spare time for ending wars and diseases. But if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials and vote on the 1% treaty. If the treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.90 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye. Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials and vote on the 1% treaty. If the treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.90 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.